Welcome to worship. It's the first Sunday of a brand new church year. It's a day when we bring together our hopes and our dreams and open our spirits to the presence of God that is moving and making new in this world. It's the first Sunday of Advent, a Sunday given to hope. So whatever your hopes and dreams are, they're welcome here. If you're looking for hope, this is a good place to start. If you need a dream that will carry you into a new year and to a new set of possibilities, join us as we open the scripture, as we worship together, as we praise God and understand hope that lives in our lives and reigns on this day. Let's pray together. God of all hope and wonder, we enter into this time of worship, asking for your Spirit to come and be among us, to call us like the shepherds out in a field, like a maiden who stands ready in her kitchen, like a cousin who waits with joy to greet a relative. It's a season given over to hopes and dreams. And so on this Sunday, would you come and grant us your wisdom, even as we try to understand where you might be calling us in this new and glad year. And we pray in the name of Jesus the Christ, our Emmanuel. Amen.
If ever there was a time that we long for Christ, the light of the world, the time is now. This year, unlike most, we gather in homes as our sanctuaries remain dark. Perhaps this is an appropriate reminder for us as we begin the season of Advent, a season of waiting in the darkness.
The prophet Isaiah speaks, "I will give you the treasures of darkness and riches hidden in secret places, so that you may know that it is I, the Lord, God of Israel, who call you by your name."
Even though we walk in the darkness, we await with hope the treasure of the Incarnation.
Even though we wait in the darkness, we live with hope that Christ will indeed come.
So today, we light the candle of hope in confidence that the darkness will not overcome. This light is our ever-present reminder that even in our darkest night, we believe that Christ will come again.
Come, Lord Jesus, come.
With great hope, your people are waiting.
Made of living stone.
It is so good to see you. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. If we were in our building, you would see the sanctuary all decorated, getting ready for Christmas. Some of you may have started getting your homes ready for Christmas too. Advent is all about getting our hearts ready for Christmas. We do all sorts of things to get our homes ready with trees and lights and decorations and shopping and all kinds of things that we do to get ready for Christmas. But Advent is when we get our hearts ready. It's when we get ready to celebrate Jesus' birthday and the gift that Jesus is to us all. This year, our focus in worship is going to be in darkness and in light. Are you afraid of the dark? Sometimes I am. It's not really my favorite, but I will tell you one of my favorite parts about Christmas is the lights. I love Christmas tree lights. I like to stay up really late at night and turn out all the other lights in the house. And just turn on my Christmas tree lights. I was really surprised how just the lights on my Christmas tree, even this little one, can light up my whole room. It only takes a tiny bit of light to make a really dark room not so dark and scary anymore. So I got to thinking, when I was about your age, I learned a song about this little light of mine and how I'm gonna let it shine. I used to think maybe that was about a candle, but it's really not. That song is about letting our light shine through our words and our actions and our faces. Just like being kind to people, letting others know that we love them and so does God. So I hope this season you can find a way to be the light for someone. That you can find a way to light up their life if they're feeling a little dark and lonely. That you can bring them some happiness and a smile. It's kind of hard to see smiles these days behind all of our masks. But if you look, you can see the twinkle in their eye when they smile. So I want you to think about ways that you can be someone's light. A way that you can bring a smile to their face, some happiness and joy to their heart. Let's go light our world together.
Rejoice, rejoice, be
for over 20 years, the people of Greystone have sat in these very pews. They've listened to the scripture. They've been surrounded by a community of faith that supports them, that cares for them, that walks the mile with them. They've offered their prayers from these pews. And so on this Sunday, let's open our hearts together in prayer. And we pray that the Spirit of Hope would come and greet us no matter where we sit this Sunday. Let's pray together. Almighty God, as we begin this season of Advent, remind us again that in the midst of our darkness, you are offering the gifts of hope, peace, love, and joy, which can calm our anxious spirits and soothe our hectic lives. Call our hearts towards you. Make us ready to receive your Son, our Savior. Slow our pace and give us, especially on this day, the blessing of the feeling of your hope in our hearts. Merciful and patient God, how we must try your patience. We rush through the seasons of our lives as though we had a mighty schedule to keep. We plot our days minute by minute, crowding each moment with tasks, stresses, and pressures. And we begin to notice the growing darkness and anxiety in our lives. We proclaim boldly each year that we will not let ourselves get so caught up in the commercial and cultural pressures and demands. And yet, here we are, back in the same old trap of not enough time, not enough energy. The very plans we weave become bonds which imprison us. Help us to bind ourselves to you, loving God. Help us to slow down and reflect on the many ways in which you bless us. Let us drink deeply of your hope, which calls us into a bigger dream than we can control or even imagine, but is filled with your grace. In the quiet moments of this new beginning, may your hope take root and ground our hearts in your love. We lift before you our joys and our concerns. And as we offer them to you, we ask that you would lift our spirits, reminding us that you are always with us, offering your healing touch, your compassionate care. Help us to place our trust and hope in you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Today's scripture passage comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
From our earliest moments outside of the womb, we are trained to be creatures of the light. Despite the fact that we come into this world with our own unique schedules of being awake and being asleep, one of our parents' first tasks was to train us that when the night comes, when the sun sets, our activities also slow, and it's time to go to sleep. As we age, this lesson about the rhythms of darkness and light, they are reinforced as we learn that it's safe to go outside and play, but when the sun goes down, it's time to come in. You know, anything can happen under the cover of darkness. These lessons are reinforced with visual cues in the movies and the TV shows that we watch. Dark scenes, often accompanied with background music in minor keys, tells us that something terrible might be about to happen. Whereas bright scenes with their accompanying lighter music and major keys put us at ease and gives us a sense that everything is going to be okay. We can relax. These sights and sounds reinforce the idea that darkness is dangerous and light is pretty safe. Darkness is bad and light is good. You can see the dualism begin to emerge. These simplistic lessons about light and dark, they seem innocent enough, but the language of darkness and light has a shadow side, pun intended, at least where our spiritual lives are concerned. Barbara Brown Taylor explores these spiritual consequences in her book called Learning to Walk in the Dark. In the introduction to that book, she writes the following. Darkness is shorthand for anything that scares me. Anything that I want no part of, either because I'm sure that I do not have the resources to survive it, or because I do not want to find out. The absence of God is there in the darkness, she writes, along with the fear of dementia, the loss of those nearest to me, and so is the melting of the polar ice caps and the suffering of children and the nagging question about what it will feel like to die. When we feel close to God, there is light. When we feel the absence of God, we call that spiritual darkness, and we try to stay out of those shadows, living with as much righteousness as we can muster. But when our humanity begins to shine through anyway, or when the difficult times come, we begin to search for those spiritual light switches to flip. We want the quick fixes to eradicate the discomfort of darkness that is thrust upon us inevitably in this life. Is there a prayer to pray, we wonder? A scripture to read? Is there a hymn to sing that will take away our sin and our pain and replant our feet on the brightly illuminated path to glory? Is there a switch to turn on and make the darkness go away? There are indeed many well-worn pathways within the Christian tradition that would support that kind of full solar spirituality, as Barbara Brown Taylor calls it in her book. That is a spirituality that insists that God is light 24/7, every day of the year, and therefore we should work our hardest to find that light and to stay in it. It's not hard to find devotional materials and preachers who will preach a sermon that promises, if you're living right, if you're praying right, if you're going to church, and of course, if you are paying that tithe, God is going to bless you by turning on the light switch, by opening up that celestial floodlight and eradicating the darkness, meaning the sin and the difficulty and the pain once and for all. Of course, though, most of us over the course of a lifetime learn that things are not usually so simple. Unluckily for those of us who have yet to find that supernatural light switch, the Bible has a word for us. The Bible reminds us that darkness, too, holds a good measure of hope. That hope resides in the darkest moments of our lives because our very faith story is one that begins in darkness. The very first words of our scripture speak of darkness and chaos. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void and darkness covered the face of the deep. That's where our scriptures begin. That's where our faith journey begins. And into that very darkness, that formless void, and the darkness that covered it, God begins to speak creation into being. But before God utters a word, before creation comes out of that darkness, the Spirit is already present, hovering over the darkness and watching, waiting, and working as it bursts forth with potential, unrealized hope for the creation that it was about to become. Now, you and I know the stories that come after that opening piece from Genesis. We know the stories of the people of faith, the nations, the Exodus, the wilderness, and all that comes after. But it might do us well, in our own moments of darkness, to remember that God has been there before. These words would have been familiar to the first readers of John's Gospel, so familiar that when the Gospel begins with, "In the beginning was the Word," John's listeners would have immediately recognized that Genesis connection. And because they would have recognized that connection, they might have also remembered what came next. First, darkness, then creation. Of course, without having been there, it's hard to know with any kind of certainty what was going through the minds of that Johannine community. Why did John choose to begin his gospel this way? Why does the good news of the incarnation, according to John, begin so differently than it did for Matthew, Mark, and Luke? They saw fit to tell the stories of the people, Elizabeth and Zechariah, Mary and Joseph, John the Baptist, shepherds, kings, and magi, each playing their part in God's unfolding story of incarnation, but not John. John starts with the still and quiet chaos of darkness. It makes me wonder if John's people were struggling. It makes me wonder if when John sat down to write his story about the good news of Jesus Christ, if the people that he loved, the people for whom he was writing the story to begin with, were they in a season of darkness themselves? Were they struggling? Were they searching for a glimpse of hope? But rather than offering them a switch to flip, a theological light switch, an easy answer or a quick solution, John brought them back to the beginning of faith with a reminder that God is, in very nature, present with us in the darkness. It is essential to who God is to hover with us when the chaos comes, when the darkness refuses to leave. God is with us, watching and waiting and working to bring about new creation. Now, it can be tempting to read the Bible with a dualistic lens, one that embraces the solar spirituality that Barbara Brown Taylor describes in her book. But when the seasons of darkness come, when our lights go out, so to speak, full solar spirituality doesn't always cut it. The idea that God is light 24/7 just doesn't ring true in seasons of darkness. Did the darkness come because of some lack of faith that we have? We might ask if we are a part of that full solar faith. Are the lights out because of some unconfessed or ongoing sin that we are aware of, or maybe one that we're not aware of? Are we in this situation because God doesn't hear our prayers, or worse, because God doesn't care to help us anymore? Or maybe we need a new set of questions. Maybe this year, in this particular season of Advent, when there seems to be a whole host of darknesses setting in, maybe we can focus ourselves around some new questions. And maybe we can center our practice on the words of Genesis and John's Gospel, which remind us that the darkness is what is, and the light is what is coming. If we place our hope in these pieces of scripture, we can be sure that even though the darkness just is right now, God is here with us, hovering, waiting, watching, and perhaps even working to bring about new creation. Today begins the season of Advent that will be unlike any other we've known before. Our traditional services with pews more fully packed than in other seasons, those will have to wait as COVID cases continue to rise. And at the same time, our usual celebrations with family and friends, the bright spots on our weekly calendars, those are also changing as we're discouraged from being close to people and encouraged to keeping our social distance. This enduring pandemic lifestyle is a very real darkness, and it just is right now. And we shouldn't pretend, however, that this is the only darkness that permeates this particular Advent season. This year has exposed so many darknesses for which there is no light switch for us to just flip. Nothing for us to do to just make them go away. The darkness of our collective racism, classism, sexism, and so many other social ills that run so deeply within us that even just naming them brings up so much pain. In addition to those, and perhaps on a more individual level, many of us are dealing with our own personal shadows. Denial and greed and selfishness, lies and addiction, loneliness, isolation, brokenness, and so many more unspeakable personal pains have us looking for a closet to hide in while we wait through the darkness, waiting for the light to come whenever it will. This Advent, we might not have all the available lights that we had in the past. No parties, no fancy dinners, no extended meals, no fun travel plans, no church calendar packed with in-person activities to distract us from our own experiences of darkness. But maybe those expressions enabled what really was a full solar spirituality in ways that we were not aware. So maybe this year, in this very different season of Advent, we might consider our current predicament of darkness, whatever that darkness may be. Maybe this year we can consider that an invitation to not run in the other direction, ignoring or denying the darkness that exists in our lives, but perhaps an invitation to take a step boldly into the darkness itself, recognizing that maybe there is a new kind of hope that lives within it. A hope that resides in the knowledge that God is in the darkness with us, hovering, waiting, watching, and perhaps even creating new life. Perhaps for us in this different season of Advent, we might recognize that even in the darkness, there is hope. Amen. Deesile, deesila.
Living in light and darkness, in you we keep our trust. We'll let our eyes adjust. Living in light and darkness, death will be overcome because your love lights our way, leading us home. Living in light and darkness, in you we keep our trust. We'll let our eyes adjust. Living in light and darkness, death will
leading us home. You're leading us home. Christ be born within, living in light and darkness. In you we keep our trust, we'll let our eyes adjust. Living in light and darkness, death will be overcome because of your love. Lights our way, leading us home. You're leading us home. You're leading us home. Leading us home.
As we ready our bodies and our spirits to leave this time of worship, there are just a few things that I'd like to tell you about Greystone, what's going on in our community, and how you can be a part. So, we have said today that today is the beginning of Advent. And this year, we will be having a virtual Lessons and Carols that carries you all the way through the season. In your email and through your social media channels, you will get 2 videos a week filled with devotions and scripture and music. And so I hope that you will join in and celebrate the season with us as we offer a virtual Lessons and Carols. Also, thank you so much for participating in our pledge campaign. The gifts and pledges that you make to Greystone build a future that will carry the message and mission and service to North Raleigh and around the globe. And so thank you for being a part of that and continuing the dream of Greystone. And thank you also for contributing to our Harvest Table offering. This offering is going to Urban Ministries. It's not too late if you missed the opportunity last week. You have one more week. This offering is open through December the 6th. You can go to our website and contribute online, or you can mail a check to the church office. Today, if you are a family with small children, you can come by the church from 3 to 4 p.m. to pick up your children's Advent packet. Those packets will be waiting for the children in the lead mine lot, and that will happen today from 3 to 4 o'clock. Also, remember that you can give a mask to a neighbor. You can help our neighbors at Cedar Point get ready for school in January. All throughout the month of December, we're collecting masks, children's sizes and adult sizes. We're hoping to collect over 400 masks. And so I hope that as you're about out and about shopping, or if you're online shopping, that you'll purchase a mask or 2 or 3 and drop it by the church office. That collection begins December the 1st. And also, mark your calendars. We will be having a drive-through Living Nativity on Wednesday, December the 16th. I didn't want you to miss it, so go ahead and mark your calendars now and be ready to be involved and to celebrate the season in that way. There's so much that goes on in the life of this church, and I hope that you will find a way to be a part, to play your part and have a special role in the ministry and life that is Greystone.
We are marching in the light of God. We are marching in the light of God. We are marching in the light of God. We are marching in the light of the light of God. We are marching, marching, we are marching, marching, we are marching in the light of the light of God. We are marching, marching, we are marching, marching, we are marching in the light of God.
As you leave this time of worship and return to your lives, receive this benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May God's presence always be alive within you, giving you the grace never to sell yourself short, grace to risk something big for something good, and grace to remember that the world is now too dangerous for anything but truth and too small for anything but love. So may God take your feet and walk with them. May God take your hands and heal through them. May God take your hearts and set them on fire. Amen.